Chapter 42. Rosmarin. Our company got a better look at just how many soldiers from Constanta had arrived as we made our way to the front of the lines. I knew we had not entirely emptied Constanta of its forces, but out here, in the wilds, on the verge of war, I had never seen an army look so magnificent. I choked back the emotion I felt welling up in me. We took our place at the head of the army, and Onyx's mighty voice carried out over the land.
Soldiers, we have come a long way from home to fight a battle that is far from our own doorstep. But these are our brothers and sisters, and we will proudly fight beside them. We march on.
With one rippling arm, she raised her greatsword into the air. A chorus of cheers echoed into the blue sky as the soldiers advanced. They followed behind us, a loud thunder of hooves as we marched toward Tenochtitlan. This time, we would circumvent much of the jungle and come to the ruins from the north where it was thinnest.
How did you manage to get back here so fast?
Kristoff asked as he rode between Onyx and Erwin.
With a little help from Sahar, of course.
Erwin winked toward the sorceress.
You winnowed a whole army here?
Kristoff exclaimed.
Hell no.
Onyx returned, matching his shocked tone.
Do you know how dangerous it is to winnow, especially that many people?
I know a thing or two about it.
Kristoff grimaced.
She gave us winnow powder to get back to Constanta.
Erwin replied. That still doesn't explain how you've returned so fast, and with that many soldiers. I interjected.
We may have used a portal.
Erwin answered in her innocent voice.
A portal?
I shouted. Do you know the consequences of using a portal?
I was incredulous.
Portals were dangerous magic. Much like winnow powder, portals played with the fabric of reality, only they were much larger tears in it. Winnowing was more like a small ripple. You're in, and then you're out. But opening a portal required vast amounts of magic and energy exchanges, and it was a difficult and dangerous process. I had never used a portal, nor did I ever want to. I heard my fair share of stories, mostly from Sahar, about portalers becoming trapped between worlds or slicing themselves in two when a portal closed too early. Considering the risk we had already seen with Winnow Powder and Kristoff, my fears felt justified.
Sahar gave us some items that reduced the risk,
Erwin stated as if what she had done was the most mundane thing ever.
A piece of a meteorite to channel the energy, some focusing crystals, and the location of a ley line to follow so we wouldn't get lost in the world between worlds.
I shook my head. Had I known they would use a portal to return, and with most of my army in tow, I may not have agreed to let them go. I glanced at Sahar and saw the faint smirk on her face. Of course, that's why she didn't tell me about it. I had seen her slip something to Erwin when they were leaving, and now I knew what it had been. I sighed. There was no point in being mad about it now. They had made it safely, and that's all that mattered at this point. But I knew the consequences would catch up with us somewhere, as they always did.
Next time, don't be so reckless,
I scolded. We rode on along the green lands to the north of the Adelin jungle. Traveling in the open lands proved to be easier than through the tangled mess of jungle. Now, though, we had thousands of soldiers behind us, and even riding at a quick pace on horseback, it would still take us a day to reach Tenochtitlan. Onyx spurred us on, encouraging us to keep up the pace. She shouted mantras and chants back to her soldiers, and she yelled platitudes at them to keep their morale high. As their shared voices rang out, pride swelled up in me. The Doombringer led her forces onward with sheer determination and even eagerness for battle. Although my heart raced, I trembled the closer we got to the ruins, and as I scanned the skies for any sign of the Kukulkan, Onyx's fierceness filled me with the anticipation for the battle ahead. I had fought beside her and the council many times before, and we had always crushed any obstacle that came before us. Now, we had Jace, Lynx, and Michaela with us. Lynx and Jace joined in the chants with my soldiers. Like Onyx, they were bred for battle. It's what they lived for, and their undying loyalty to their queen and their people pushed them forward. We expected the battle to be long and bloody, and I had no idea of the outcome, so I had advised Sophia to have some kind of plan if the battle went awry. Whether she would try to stand and fight in Nahuatl or evacuate her people and flee, I wasn't sure. But I had told her she was always welcome in Constanta, whether or not I returned. Kristoff, still riding between Erwin and Onyx, looked more like a king than he ever had before. We had all opted to wear more armor, and he now wore a shining silver armor suit of Nahuatl, with the golden sun on his chest piece. He looked godlike in his red and gold garb and glinting daggers at his side. His skin glowed, and he shimmered white in the sunlight. If anything, he was marching toward his destiny. As we watched him march out in front of our army, we all had some realization that we could not defeat Kukulkan without him, just as we would never have killed the Draken had he not returned to the fight. Trees loomed up ahead of us. We had reached the part of the jungle that stretched out into the grasslands. The plan was to direct our army around the jungle and enter in toward the ruins a little further east, but as we rounded the corner of trees, a battle raged in the open land before us. The Nahuatl forces were engaged in a fierce fight with Zilin's army of the undead. Although Sophia had lamented at her lack of forces, she still had sent enough to rival the hordes of zombies, lichlings, and mummies. When Lynx and Jay saw their people, they took off toward one of the hosts in the back, waiting for their turn to enter the fight.
"We'll gather some intel,"
Lynx shouted back to us as he raced off. Onyx took the time to prepare her soldiers for war. She unsheathed her sword and rode up and down the lines, yelling commands to her captains.
"Dar and Relwyn, take your troops around the Nahuatl forces and flank the dead on the right,"
she shouted to a werewolf and fairy. They nodded and rode down the lines of their soldiers to relay the battle plan. Onyx turned to two vampire captains.
"Justine, Marco, take your forces through the jungle and flank them on the left."
After receiving their orders, a host of soldiers flooded into the trees, disappearing completely. Onyx shouted more orders, changing the shapes of the lines as she prepared her troops to enter the fray alongside Nahuatl. Jace and Lynx raced across the field back to us.
"The first host is dead. They were all slaughtered."
Jace lowered his head as he relayed the news.
"When the second wave arrived, Zilin's army was just here, waiting for them."
Lynx added. "Any sign of the sorcerer?" I asked.
"Or Kukulkan?"
Kristoff wondered. Jace and Lynx looked at each other.
"Not yet,"
Lynx replied.
"He's probably still in the ruins. Or worse, on his way to Nahuatl."
Rachel mused with a scowl. "Do we seek him out?" Sahar asked.
"I think we need to,"
Kristoff said, determination burning in his hazel eyes. "Onyx?" I looked at the gargoyle. "You lead the troops into the battle. Lynx and Jace, join your soldiers if you must. But the rest of us, we have a sorcerer to find." I didn't want to be apart from Onyx again, but she was the head of my army and the best person to lead them into battle. I turned my horse and rode beside my friend. "Good luck, Onyx."
"Luck?"
She scoffed and then smiled.
"I don't need luck."
I grinned at my fierce friend and rode back to the rest of the council. "All right, back to Tenochtitlan," I ordered and led our company into the trees. We raced through the jungle as quickly as possible. The trees were less dense here, and we saw signs of the different armies that had smashed their way through, and as we neared the ruins, we passed the terrible aftermath of that first battle. Nothing could have prepared me for the sight, even all my years at war. I had seen plenty of devastation, but something about this massacre pierced me to the core. I slowed my horse down to a walk and scanned the devastation all around me. The dead lay everywhere. Zombies, lichlings, mummies, yes, but werewolves and narwhals too. Bodies hung from trees in places, and where soldiers died on the bodies of their comrades rose great piles of corpses. Burns from lichling magic or the distinct wounds of bites and scratches from zombies and mummies covered their bloody bodies. I had done this. I had ordered Sophia to send these soldiers to their death. And now more of them, and more of mine, were out on the field behind me, fighting to their death. I inhaled sharply at the sight, but the stench was awful and oppressive as it hung in the moist jungle air. The gore made me sick, and then I grew furious. I would find the sorcerer and make him pay for all that he had done. I spurred my horse on, picking up the pace with my companions following. We raced through the jungle, ducking and dodging branches, not caring about the scratches and cuts that appeared in red lines on my skin. "Hya!" I shouted, and willed my horse faster. I charged out of the trees, back into the ruins, into the place that held so much terror and evil and death. I sped on toward the fallen temple and scanned the sky for Kukulkan. "Please let him be here, and not in Tenwattle. Please." The ruins were in even worse shape than before after the earthquake stirring the serpent's terrible birth. But even as we came upon the edge of the hole the temple had collapsed into, we saw no signs of the beast or the Shadowmancer.
"What now?"
Christoph asked me. "Sahar, where are they?" I whipped around to look at the sorceress. Her brown eyes slid closed as she searched for their energies. And then, a moment later, her eyes popped open.
"They are near."
Seconds later, as if Sahar had summoned them, Kukulkan appeared over the tops of the distant trees and sailed over the ruins, his long, feathered body rippling behind him like a banner. He flew over to Nochin and circled around. When the great beast spotted us, he let out an earth-shattering roar and redirected his course. The snake dipped down and sailed straight for us. And that's when I noticed the black figure riding just above the serpent's head.
"Zilin."
The sorcerer laughed maniacally and shot fireballs down at us. I steered my horse behind a wrecked building, but Christoph was not so quick, and the blast sent him flying from his horse. I wanted to rush over and make sure he was okay, but Kukulkan passed overhead, sending tongues of flame spitting at us in the rubble we hid behind. I heard a piercing scream and realized it was Erwin. This was her first encounter with the great serpent, and clearly its terrible majesty rattled my friend. "Erwin, stay strong," I called out, unsure of where the fairy was currently hiding. As Kukulkan's tail whipped past, I emerged from my hiding place. The others appeared, including a dusty Christoph who coughed and sputtered. Erwin slowly surfaced from her hiding place with her hands covering her head. Her eyes darted up into the sky and tracked the snake's arc back over to Nochin.
"Eri, are you all right?"
I shook the fairy's shoulder. She snapped her eyes on me.
"How?"
Christoph dusted himself off.
"The damn sorcerer used my power and Jasmina to complete some ritual. Thus, Kukulkan is now awake."
For a moment, I feared for Erwin's sanity as she glanced at the sky, her blue eyes glued open in terror. But as I rubbed her shoulder, her mind slowly pieced together all the information, and she shook herself, regaining her senses.
"What do we do about it?"
she asked.
"It's coming for another pass."
Rachel pointed into the air as the devourer of worlds soared overhead.
"Christoph?"
Sahar smiled at him.
"Ready to use the magic?"
He unsheathed his dagger and smirked.
"As Kukulkan passes, Christoph, you blast him with light. Aim for the eyes."
Sahar instructed,
I'll conjure a protective spell over us, so hopefully the flames can't touch us.
Hopefully?
Rachel questioned in her flat tone.
Just be ready.
Sahar replied.
When Kakalkin passes, the rest of you attack with all you have.
We quickly dismounted our horses, those of us who still rode ours, and sent them fleeing into the jungle, which I'm sure they were grateful for. Each of us found various structures to hide behind, but Sahar and Kristoff stood on top of two buildings, ready for the snake. Kukulkan was at the far end of the ruins and dipped down and back around. He flew at terrible speed, straight toward us. He raced on, and I was ready to scream at Chris and Sahar, but she yelled first.
Now!
Kristoff's blade, glowing with stored light, discharged, and a steaming beam of white light shot across the blue sky, hitting the serpent directly in one green eye. The creature let out a blood-curdling squeal, but continued its assault. Sahar threw a spell down over her, Kristoff, and the rest of us where we hid, so when Kakulkin's mouth erupted in red flames, all we felt was a wind whoosh by, even the exposed Sahar and Chris. As soon as Kakulkin's head passed by with blood gushing from his eye socket, I screamed and leaped out from my hiding place. I used my falling momentum to drive my sword as deep as possible into the snake's scaly back, and as it flew by, my blade tore skin from the monster, scalping a good portion of its back. Jace had managed to do a similar thing from the other side, and even as Kukulkan shrieked and flew off into the sky, I saw strips of skin and scales hanging from it. Rachel had sent slash after slash into the serpent's side, gouging several chunks from it, while Michaela jabbed one end of a staff into each open wound as he flew by. Erwin, now recovered from her shock, fired arrows into the snake. I would call each and every one of those strikes brave, especially Sahar and Kristoff, as they stood out in the open. But as I now noticed, Lynx still rode the serpent's back as Kukulkan slithered off into the sky. I squinted into the bright sky and saw the black Nogwal slowly trying to shimmy his way up to Zillin, but the snake writhed in pain as it flew over the ruins. In an effort to further wound the snake and keep from falling to his death in the ruins below, Lynx jammed his sword into Kukulkan's bleeding back. Another scream from the snake echoed over Tenochtitlan, and I had the urge to cover my ears, but I saw the serpent resuming his familiar arc across the sky.
The stupid thing is coming for another pass,
Rachel informed the group. We took our same positions in anticipation of his return, but this time, when Chris shot a bolt of light, the snake twisted around it. And at that moment, Zillin unleashed an orb of darkness so immense that it blew the entire top off the building Kristoff perched on. He flew sideways, and I screamed, about to launch myself to catch him, but Sahar was quicker and caught him with a spell. But that meant that she wouldn't have time to throw a protection spell on us, so I pressed my back firmly against the building I hid behind. The snake never came. Instead of flying down the alleyway that we hid along like he had before, Zillin directed the creature to whip around and attack from the other side. Ah. Unprotected sides. I managed to dive and roll behind another building as Kukulkan released a breath of fire, but I felt my feet heat up, and when I looked down, my boots were sizzling. A scream echoed through the buildings, and as I rounded the one I had dove behind, I saw Rachel in the street, on fire. I sprinted toward her as she patted herself and rolled on the ground, and just before I reached her, water materialized over her, splashing down onto her, Sahar, and then Kristoff ran into view. Thank the gods he was all right. And while the flames were out, I ran on, and when I reached Rachel, I checked her over. Are you hurt? Are you okay? I ran my hands along her face to check for burns.
I'm all right.
She said through giant breaths.
Uh-oh.
Kristoff gulped as he looked into the sky. Still holding onto a trembling Rachel, I looked up to see Kukulkan swirling over the ruins. But this time, he flew in another direction.
to the north. Instead of turning around for another attack, he sailed off over the jungle, toward the battleground. Shit, I cursed. They're going to attack the soldiers.
Jace stood with eyes wide. And Lynx is still on its back.